Penguin Random House Audio presents Reckless Fortune by M.M. Crane. Read for you by Andy Arndt. Thank you for picking up this book. This story is for you. 1. Bowie Fortune never backed down from a dare, especially not if the dare came from his mouthy kid sister, who might not be a kid any longer, sure, but the principle remained intact. Bowie liked to think of his refusal to back down, no matter how ridiculous the dare in question, as evidence not only of the high standards he maintained, but of a life well lived, the only kind of life worth living to his mind. And he'd tried several lives on for size already, so he could tell the difference. As he landed his favorite longer-range Cessna on what passed for a runway in the middle of spectacular Montana ranch land, he figured his life was looking just fine. No thanks to Piper and the challenge she'd issued him, but the Rocky Mountains down here in the lower 48 were giving him a gorgeous early June welcome, as if summer really was on its way. The sky was big and bright. The land was pretty. You could do worse, the Bitterroot Valley had seemed to tell him as he came in. He set the plane down sedately and bumped along the countrified runway that was an upgrade from the gravel he was used to in Alaska, and laughed while he did it, because he laughed a lot more than some people considered appropriate. He laughed more the less appropriate they found it, and because sedate was not really his thing. Mail-order brides weren't really his thing either, but here he was. Bowie normally flew charter flights around the Alaskan bush for folks with a taste for the more thrilling things in life. It was a guaranteed adventure, and also something he would have done as soon as he got his pilot's license, without anyone paying him. That he got to call it his job never failed to make him feel like he was getting away with something. He never forgot for a minute that some poor slobs had to sit in airless offices and go to tedious meetings all day, a fate worse than death as far as he was concerned. But then, Bowie was from Lost Lake, out in interior Alaska, where it was an adventure to survive on any given Tuesday. Not to mention all 10.5 months of winter. He figured growing up off the grid the way he had was what had given him an appetite for taking risks, the way folks in big cities took their buses and subways. Compared to some of the things he'd done, most recently flying like a lunatic through spring storms with a pack of equally fearless outdoor photographers, for example, this mail-order bride deal sounded pretty tame. What was pretending to be married, pioneer-style, for one measly little Alaskan summer with a virtual stranger, next to the thrill of landing on a glacier at 7,200 feet, or playing hide-and-seek in fog and rain with some of the tallest mountains in the world? Piper had dared him to take part in this publicity stunt/contest being put on by a questionable collection of regional locals, mostly because, she'd maintained, he was too unruly and uncivilized to find himself a date, much less a wife. Even if the wife in question was fake and temporary, for the dubious purpose of a little prize money, assuming they won. "I date plenty," Bowie had told her with a grin, sitting at the comfortable family dinner table in his parents' house at the far end of the lake one blustery spring night. "How and when and who is a little too much information for your tender ears." There'd been a lot of snorting at that from the rest of the disreputable humans he claimed as his own, but Piper had only smiled at him in that particularly sisterly way she had, as if she pitied him. It was meant to get his back up, and it did. "You've gone full mountain man, and you don't even know it," she'd said sadly, with a shake of her head. "You've become the character you play on your charter trips." "I beg your pardon. I do not play any characters. I provide local color and commentary as requested." But he'd been grinning lazily while he said that because maybe he did play a role or two, if he felt like it. He wasn't an actor, though. He could still remember the various attempts at community theater at the mine. The mine was the center of the lake community. It was a whole village, except, unlike most villages, it was all under one roof at the head of Lost Lake, rather than spread out around the lake or along a road. There were no roads. The mine was the bar, the restaurant, all the shops, and a place to shelter from the inevitable weather, too. Watching folks he knew parade around in costume, orating in a great big room he couldn't escape even if he was actively trying to pretend it wasn't happening, was the stuff of nightmares. Piper had rolled her eyes at him. You're going to die alone, eaten by wild animals, Bowie. Even if you tried to entice some poor woman to take a chance on you at this point, how would you get her to stay?
Little sister, I don't know how to tell you this.
Bowie had held Piper's gaze and let his grin expand some.
I'm very persuasive in the right circumstances.
What would happen if you had to actually get to know someone? His sister had asked, as if that was an idle question, and she wasn't directly challenging him. Because maybe Piper was a little bit of an actor herself. No song and dance on a flight past Denali. No flying off at dawn. What if you had to let someone get to know you?
Bring it on, Bowie had replied immediately.
The way Piper had likely known he would, because she'd smiled with a little too much satisfaction. I'm so glad you're game, Bowie, she'd murmured, smugly. Because there happens to be the perfect opportunity for you to prove it. And then she'd told him about the so-called mail-order bride contest taking place this summer. The rules were simple, according to Piper. The ladies who entered chose their men after a stringent vetting process that would include home visits. Together, the so-called couple would spend the summer exemplifying the Alaskan frontier spirit by performing and documenting as many survival tasks and adventures, as well as good old-fashioned frontier living, as they could. They were to post a picture every day, and at least one video per week to a dedicated social media account. The better to advertise the charms of the area here, that, while remote and unspoiled as the locals liked it, could benefit from some more tourism in the summer months. The contestants were expected to promote the area and the contest, and any disreputable behavior would lead to disqualification, as would anything illegal or even distasteful in the eyes of the judges. The judges were a selection of local officials from villages in this part of the vast interior who would get together and name one best old-school frontier couple at the end of the summer. The mail-order bride part was a gimmick and meant as a throwback to how a lot of folks' great-grandparents had met out here, as no weddings would actually be occurring, at least not as part of the contest. What contestants did afterward was up to them. When Bowie had suggested that might be the dumbest idea he'd ever heard, he discovered that said dumb idea had come about thanks in no small part to his own brother, the unofficial mayor of the unincorporated Lost Lake community. Quinn had been more than happy to discuss the whole thing in detail, even though Bowie thought it was about as foolish as that time Mia Saskin, known as Grand Mia to one and all around here, had decided they should have an adopt-a-bear contest. All fun and games until the bears in question took exception to being tracked. With both Piper and Quinn going on about the mail-order bride thing, a lot like they were in cahoots, Bowie had been backed neatly into it. He'd had no choice but to laugh like it was his very own idea and sign up on the spot. Then act like he'd enjoyed every minute that had brought him out here to Montana to collect his fake bride for the summer, in the hope they might win some money if they made it all the way to Labor Day and proved themselves the most old-school Alaska while they did it, whatever that was. He laughed again now as he climbed down from the cockpit and took a deep breath of Montana.
Idiots,
he muttered into the stillness, though it was hard to say which idiot he meant. There were so many involved in this that it was hard to choose. But it was done now. He'd chosen to fly down and pick up his bride for the summer because he could, and maybe because he'd wanted to both get his head straight with the nice long flight, as well as get to know the woman in question before they just lived together in his house. Besides, there was no denying it was pretty here, and he'd always been a sucker for a pretty place with the wild still in it. Montana had that going for it. It was gorgeous by anyone's standards, if a little soft by his. For one thing, there were roads. He'd seen them as he'd flown south. A person could drive anywhere, right on out to the interstate if they had a mind to.
all the way to the sea or anywhere else that...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?